Warning, this broadcast of Ohio is on Fire features entertainment and honesty of an intense nature. The opinions and views that are expressed on this episode do not reflect the views of WWSU 106.9 FM or any of its affiliates.
You have any matches? Try setting it on fire.
Fire! 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 Fire!
Here comes my favorite part.
Crank this rope.
Saving the innocent from corporate radio. This is the show where Ohio froze down. Ohio is on fire. This is episode 181, and it's going to be as grand as all the others because tonight we got a really good show for you planned. We got the Typical Johnsons, one of the hottest bands in Ohio, on tonight. Also, we got Pet Lover and a fundraiser event organizer, Sabrina Cox. She'll be on later on the show. And I am joined for the last time by co-host Titus Wayne. Say hello, sir.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hello. Well, welcome to the show, Titus. Now, I want to talk to you for a little bit since we're beginning the show. What did you do for Thanksgiving? Because we had that this past week.
I actually had Thanksgiving with all my coworkers at Therapy Cafe. That's how I spent it.
Man, that's awesome. Yeah. Have you ever had Cracker Barrel before?
I haven't.
Oh,
well, I don't know why I said that. Yes, of course I've had Cracker Barrel. It's a staple of U.S. roadside food.
Absolutely. Well, it's I love Cracker Barrel. I tell you, me and some of my family, we went to the Cracker Barrel over at Bellbrook to celebrate Thanksgiving.
Cool.
And it was, man, it was really good. Well, I tell you what I had. I had the 6 pieces of chicken fried tenderloins, and then I had they had something called hash brown casserole. They put like cheese and bacon on it. It's really good, and I had biscuits, green beans, and I had Coca-Cola, and it was really fun. Cracker Barrel is always fun to go to because they have, before, if anyone has never been to Cracker Barrel, they have like these attractions that you can check out before you go in and eat.
The little gift shop.
Yeah, like a little gift shop. They have like toys. They got country music. They have they have like bed items. Like if you want to buy stuff for your bed, it's like a little shop.
I always liked the little games that they had on the table that had the pegs in it.
You
had to jump the pegs.
Of course, yeah, they still have those because I was playing with that before our food came. And so that was what I did for Thanksgiving. That was a lot of fun. It was me and some of my family relatives.
That's really
and,
cool.
And the thing about Cracker Barrel, they're really popular right now. And, of course, I'm a big wrestling fan. Cracker Barrel is really popular among pro wrestling. I know the event they had called All In back in September, Cracker Barrel was the main sponsor for that event, and they had Cracker Barrel for catering. And man, and I've had in my past job, I've had Cracker Barrel for catering as well, so I can vouch that it was really good food. Because what they do, they give you a big thing of that hash brown casserole. They give you like big things of these chicken fried steak. They give you that. They give you big things of meatloaf, mashed potatoes. You eat like a king when you have Cracker Barrel catering.
Man, I'm hungry now.
I know. Well, you gotta wait till after the show, and I promise I'm not being paid by these guys. I know I'm really plugging these guys hard. But
if you want to throw him some money, he's not gonna say no. Yes. To Cracker Barrel.
Yes, I am a free agent, so write me a check and I'll say anything you want, Cracker Barrel. So with that, I also want to talk about Christmas because Black Friday got started this past weekend. Everyone's shopping, and I talked about briefly what I want for Christmas. I want new podcasting equipment. Titus, I want to know, what do you want for the holiday season, whether it's Christmas or Hanukkah? I don't know what you celebrate. What do you want?
I think for the holidays, I kind of just want a clean slate for the new year.
Okay.
Just to, like, take a breather and you know, just, like purge all the drama and stress from this past year. And
yeah, just throw it away.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't really want anything, like, material. I kind of just want to, like, get my head right for Christmas. That's really, like...
I hear you there. I can relate to that. Like, year full of drama. It's, yeah, I don't blame you. So that's a great Christmas gift there, Titus. You know, let's turn to more happier things. That yeah. sounds depressing. I want to talk about, I think it's now time for everyone's favorite segment. It's now time for OMVP. And it stands for Ohio's Most Valuable Pedestrian. I'm not quite the musician like the typical Johnsons, but that's as good as I can do. But
should
yes,
you should have them record an intro for that.
I'll make them. They need to make me an intro for OMVP. I'll see if they'll do it. I won't make them, but they can offer. Like, but anywho, OMVP, for anyone that by now doesn't know what OMVP is, it's a segment that goes like an award. That's not really an award, but a shout out that goes to either a person or a group of people from the state of Ohio. And it did something very interesting. There's always a backstory because you got to know why we're doing these OMVPs. And I'm going to go ahead and do it. And this article, I got this from theregister.co.uk because, yes, this actually is from the United Kingdom, but it is about Ohio. It was actually a big world event that took place today. This is actually major news.
Today.
Yes, it happened today, so I'll talk about it. Seeing as Bitcoin is going so well, Ohio becomes the first American state to take biz taxes in Bitcoin, in BTCs. And so let me read about this. This is a major deal. So let me read this article.
Wow.
Ohio has become the first U.S. state to accept Bitcoin as formal payment for business taxes. Everything from sales and vehicles levies to employee tax, electricity costs. Starting this week, Ohio businesses can register online at a new website, ohiocrypto.com, and use the e-currency to cover their dues. The initiative is being driven by Ohio State's Treasurer Josh Mandel, who claims that since he is directly elected, he doesn't need to get formal approval from the state legislator or governor, something that has stopped a number of other efforts to accept Bitcoin as a form of payment in states including Arizona, Georgia, and Illinois. Mr. Mandel is, however, ensuring that the state's coffers suffer minimum exposure to notoriously unstable electric currency. Money paid in Bitcoin to Ohio is instantly converted into U.S. dollars through exchange BitPay. And I'll read, this is a long article, so I'll read the last three sentences here, because this is only a two-hour show. Columbus, Ohio is marketing itself as a potential technology hub and has already attracted a number of businesses and some large venture capital firms. And Cleveland is using its informal moniker of Believeland, a catchphrase born from the city's win in the NBA Finals in 2016, thanks to LeBron James, to pitch itself as Blockland now that LeBron has gone. Mandel is also a tech lover, it seems. He is pushing blockchain technology for the state. He owns some Bitcoin himself. And back in 2014, he launched another innovative first when he set up a website that outlined exactly how Ohio spends its tax money, putting all state spending online. The state is most transparent in the country when it comes to spending as a result, according to independent reviewers.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. This is news to me.
That's interesting. I'm going to go up and look up what we're spending our taxes on.
Absolutely. I'll read this last paragraph. The main decider in Ohio's embrace of Bitcoin, however, is likely to be how much use is made of the program. If enough people are willing to pay an extra 1% to pay their taxes with e-currency, you can bet that the Ohio Treasury will be happy to leave the program be. So, yes, this is a major development. American history, I guess.
Yeah.
So what do you think, Titus?
Well, I mean, that it's kind of, like you said, it's like a landmark, really, because, like, I mean, that's the first time I've ever heard of the United States government. Like, because Bitcoin's not owned by the Federal Reserve. It's not like our standard currency, and they're going to accept it obviously to convert it just to U.S. dollars up front, but it's kind of like, I don't know, Bitcoin is...
Yeah, it's
really
independent.
Interesting. Yeah, it's this virtual currency that's actually gotten so much value that U.S. government, you know, offices are...
Well, like, Ohio is, anyway.
Right.
Today it's Ohio, and perhaps tomorrow will be the rest of it. It takes one state to get the ball rolling, pretty much.
Exactly. And
man, yeah, that does blow my mind, because, yes, Bitcoin is an independent currency that's not owned by the government. This would be the first time ever that government would accept... anything other than federally owned currency.
But yeah, the Federal Reserve actually is.
Well, Federal Reserve, yeah.
They're not owned by the government. But.
Yeah, well, that's, yeah.
Interestingly enough.
Absolutely. But And I think this, if anything, this is a big victory for the independent market.
Yeah.
Whether it's Bitcoins or entertainment like we do, it shows that you don't have to be locked into the mainstream to get something done. Like this Bitcoin has made such a splash, it is becoming a viable product. Now, I've heard about it. I haven't invested anything in Bitcoin yet. Maybe I will eventually.
I haven't either.
This might encourage me since it's become a big deal. Now, to clarify on this story, only businesses can make payments on their behalf. So an individual at the moment cannot pay their individual taxes using Bitcoin. That's going to come. This is kind of like a guinea pig experiment for this Bitcoin. And of course, it's being pushed by Josh Mandel because he is a bit, like it said in this article, he's big on the electronics. Perhaps in all of government, whether that's Ohio or perhaps in the country, he's really huge in the technology field. He's pushing, I guess, lots of ways of life to be technology driven. Now, of course, that might be a subject that divides people on a later date, because whether you're against technology or for technology, that's a subject for another time. But this is a major deal that this is happening. So I can't think of any other person to get OMVP for this episode. And yeah. I don't think he's gotten this before. I know he was part of an article for an OVP I gave like 2 or 3 years ago. He didn't get it. But Josh Mandel, you're not going to get screwed over this time, buddy. You have made history today. And Ohio's not going to use Bitcoin to pay off their taxes. And today it's government. I mean, today is local businesses. Tomorrow could be me and Titus. And then the week after that will be our grandchildren. This is a big deal. So Josh Mandel, we salute you for better or for worse. This is something that people remember. You, sir, for this episode of Ohio's on Fire, you are OMVP. And that stands for Ohio's Most Valuable Pedestrian. Yes, we're clapping. Me and Titus, yes, we did it.
Way to go, man.
And we are live with Ohio's on Fire. I am with my first guest of the evening. I'm very excited to have these guys on. They are actually half of one of the hottest bands from the state of Ohio this past year. Of course, back in March of this year, they won my tournament known as Dayton's Indie Music Madness. It was the third tournament I ever had. They won with flying colors, and they are a great group of guys. I'm joined by Jeremy Segrese and Lynn Segrese. They are from the band The Typical Johnsons. Say hello, you two.
How you doing, man?
Hello. Well, thank you for being here.
Absolutely. It's our pleasure. No doubt.
Yes. It's glad to finally meet you guys. I want to talk to you guys for a little bit. You guys do play music together, and of course, you guys are husband, wife, the two of you. What else makes you two happy besides playing music?
Honestly, I don't know. What makes you happy, Lynn?
Travel.
Nothing makes her happy.
That's not true. Traveling makes me happy.
Yeah, I'd get behind that.
Washington, yep. Oregon makes me happy.
Yeah, traveling. Traveling makes me happy, too. What makes her happy is what makes me happy.
That's a good answer. Good answer there. The band is always around each other when you're making music. And, of course, I imagine it can be stressful just being around each other at a time. People have their needs. Once someone plays the wrong chord or someone sung a lyric out of tune, it can be stressful. So what do you two or perhaps any of your band members do to go find peace in a time of stress?
Go ahead, Lynn.
Yeah, you first.
Well, I probably fall back on working out. I run, and I'm a yoga instructor, so I
do
that. That's where I find my peace.
I want to elaborate. The yoga instructor, where do you currently teach somewhere?
I do. I teach up north between Minster and New Bremen at a studio up there called
Cool. Cool. Have you heard of Tori Reynolds?
No, I haven't.
Because I actually had her on 6 weeks ago. I didn't know you was a yoga instructor, because she's also a yoga instructor, but she's actually an owner of a group here in Dayton, Ohio, and I just had her on. So I thought that's quite a coincidence that I had yoga instructors on within a month of each other. But yeah, she's really good, so I didn't know if you'd heard of her. But she's based out of Dayton, Ohio. Okay, now, Jeremy, she answered. I want to know your answer on this.
Oh, I sleep, man.
You sleep?
I sleep. As much as possible, I sleep. Sometimes this stuff, I mean, if you look at over the history of the band, how many people I guess it's not a ton of people, but we've lost a few people.
Yeah.
Because it does get pretty stressful.
Yeah, I imagine. Now, one of your big hits from your previous album, and of course, it was a track that won my tournament this year, Sleepwalker. Big hit song for you guys. I want to know, what is the story behind the writing of that song? What's it all about?
Well, I mean, you've listened to it a couple times.
I've listened to it a lot. It's really good.
The song, I don't know, man, it changed from the time it was written, because actually the first verse in the song, I didn't write, my daughter wrote it.
Okay.
She kind of came down and just threw these lyrics at me, and yeah. I finished out the song, but it kind of evolved into basically how a lot of people, and this is going to sound kind of cliche, man, yeah. So I'm just preparing you, but how a lot of people just kind of walk through their day sleepwalking.
Yeah. You know,
and the reason we started doing this was because we didn't want to do that. That's why we started playing music, because
yeah.
we wanted to grab as much as we could while we're here. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot. Yeah, that's a good theory. So, and I would agree. I think people who suffer from depression or they don't care about life, yeah, you tend to take a day for granted sometimes if you have nothing planned.
Absolutely.
So that people just sleepwalk. I know I've heard that terminology before. I just sleepwalk through the day. Because I had nothing better to do.
Sure.
And you just never know when your time is up, because, yeah, tomorrow isn't guaranteed. So that is a deep take on that. I didn't know. That's kind of a deep meaning there.
So that's why we're doing this. We just want to grab as much as we can, you know, while we're still able to do it.
Absolutely. Now, you guys are based out of Dayton, Ohio. You're from this area. And, of course, right now there's this contest at Dayton.com called the Best of Dayton. There's, like, hundreds of categories being voted on. Of course, one of the categories is favorite entertainer and, of course, best local musician along that line. So I just want to know from you guys, who is your personal favorites from Dayton, Ohio right now in the entertainment field?
You know, Daniel, as you gave us, you know, heads up on some of the questions, we put a lot of thought into this one. This one I had to really think about, because there are a ton of good musicians
yes.
out there.
Yes.
You know, man, I really like this. Have you heard of Charlie Jackson?
I have, yes.
I really like Charlie Jackson.
I've played him a few times.
Our friend Patrick Himes said once, he doesn't hit a bad note. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure Charlie might disagree with that, but mm-hmm. I'm telling you, that guy, he's awesome.
Yeah.
Who you got, Lynn?
I would say, I have to say Seth Cannon and the Carriers.
Oh, he's awesome. I've played him
Seth
as well.
Seth is awesome.
Yes.
They're just great guys, and they're...
Cool. Yes. Yes. I played Seth Cannon a few times. In fact, it's a story I'll share another time. I once hosted a concert 4 years ago, and they were one of the playing acts. It was
right on.
Yes. Wow. I've introduced them before performing a set. It was like 10 bands playing. It was a bunch of them. But
I can tell you this. Seth is one of the hardest acts I've ever had to follow.
Yeah.
Because they just go completely all out.
Oh, he's full of energy. The night that I hosted this, because the night that I hosted this concert, he did, like, he was like running around the stage. He had this he was like sliding on the floor, and
that sounds about right.
I think he had 5 cans of Red Bull before he performed. he was off the charts. So really great guy. Now I just want to know from you two, what do you guys like to eat or drink, whether you're on the road before you perform or when you're just on your free stress-free time? What do you guys like to drink or eat?
I don't know that I have a favorite. We like finding little out of the way places, and you know, nothing, you know, like
okay.
the little mom and pop ones that you find, you know,
yeah,
off
those,
the beaten path,
yeah.
you know.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, that sells. I'm a Cracker Barrel guy kind of myself. I assume you guys have been to Cracker Barrel. I've been really plugging them hard tonight. So, all right, so there's that. I want to know, you two are currently married. Do you guys have pets?
Yeah, we got a dog.
All right.
We got a, I don't know what it is.
She's part Black Lab, part Springer Spaniel.
All right.
She's getting a little older.
That's well,
more
that's,
temperamental.
Yeah.
Well, that's fine. Yeah, I have a cat, Whiskers, so yeah. Pets are adorable, so I was just curious if you two had a pet together. Now, where do you guys go to listen to music? Like these? Now, I don't mean like concert-wise, because I know you guys go to a bunch of concerts, because
yep.
what you do. But like when you're at home, like a website, or perhaps you go to a store. I just want to know, where do you guys go to find most of your music?
Man, that's a really good question, because we were just discussing Apple Radio on the way up here and how bad it actually is.
Apple, okay.
I mean, it's horrible.
Kind
of Spotify, but in the realms that, you know, in the circles we run in, a lot of this is word of mouth.
Yeah.
Where you'll hear a stray song or a name, and you just start tracking it down, because nothing's done
yeah.
via it's got to be the internet.
Okay.
That's the only way.
I would say Spotify and Amazon Music are my first two.
But even Amazon, if you get locked into just one of their categories, you're only going to hear that certain category.
There's always Bandcamp.
I use Bandcamp a lot.
That's how are you going to find any independent music?
Bandcamp
really?
Yes. And even like individual playlists.
Yeah.
On Spotify, if you lock into the right category, man, you'll find anything you need to find. I agree.
Yeah, that's, yeah, Bandcamp's a great place, and Reverb Nation's pretty good. So, yeah, there's some good spots out there to find. If you're looking for independent music, yeah, those are good spots. Now, I want to know, what was your favorite concert that you guys performed earlier this year? Like, it was, and of course, I should mention, Jeremy and Lynn is here. Of course, not with us tonight is Jeffrey Brogan and AJ Stone. They are listening, hopefully, but they're not here tonight. But what was your guys' favorite concert moment from this past year?
Man, I got a bunch of them. We played a lot of shows. I'm going to say Yellow Spring Street Fair was a big one for us.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we played the main stage this past fall.
Okay.
Or Rumba Cafe in Columbus when we opened for Jasmine Kane. Or the Native Howl when we opened for the Native Howl, which is like a mixture of thrash metal and bluegrass.
Yeah.
And that was super cool. That was a lot of fun. Those big shows like that are a lot of fun.
Yes.
Yeah. What do you got, Lynn? What was your favorite?
You just named them. I don't know. I mean, we went up to Chicago and played a show.
Oh, we did.
Drove there.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Played, turned around, and drove straight back.
So on the same day.
Yeah, on the same day. That was.
So we drove 6 hours to play for 30 minutes on the opening slot on a three band bill.
Mm-hmm.
And we got right back in the van and drove back.
That's wild, man.
Yeah,
hope they
it
paid
was
you.
Wild.
I hope they paid you good.
No, we didn't get paid anything. We got a pizza.
We got a pizza.
That's the way
we got
it
a
works.
Pizza. Yeah. Well, that might be a foreshadow of what's coming up later on in our segment. I got a few more questions for this first part of the interview. But what concerts will you guys be performing towards the end of this year that people should know about? That if people want to see you live?
Well, it depends on how far you want to go, but we are opening for the Bottle Rockets at their record release show, which is a big deal. That's at Rumba Cafe. We're also playing a show with Jasmine Kane in the early part of the first year, also at Rumba.
Yeah. We have another show in Columbus at a new place called
Craft and Vinyl.
Yeah.
All they have is beer and vinyl records.
Wow, that sounds fun.
It's kind of cool.
When's that
it's
happening?
Cool.
December 7th?
December 7th.
December 7th.
We're also playing Blind Bob's for MacGuffin the Dumpster Fire's record release show, and that is a great band if you're not familiar.
Yeah,
with
I've heard
MacGuff.
Of them. When's that?
That's on the
8th. Yep.
The night after the Columbus Bob. Show. Yep.
That'll be fun.
All right.
Rockets on the
14th.
Yep. Yes, you guys have a busy slate coming up for concert-wise. So
we try to stay moving, man.
Let's play their music. I'm going to play two of their tracks. It was from an album that they released just this past September. So this is their newest album. The album's called In Other Words. Of course, it's a follow-up to the Rust Belt Renaissance. That was a really great album of theirs they released back in June 2017. So from In Other Words, I'm going to play two back-to-back tracks. First, we'll play Lost and Found. Then we'll play Pieces.
Crowded hall in a late summer afternoon. The everywhere I go, I'm leaving pieces behind. Some things I didn't know, with which I'm intertwined. All the places I've been, I'm dying piece by piece. Just another prison break from who I used to be. Pieces of the whole, tearing it all apart. Wreckage on the road, broken at the start.
We're back live with Ohio is on Fire. I'm still here with the typical Johnsons. And I think it's now time for a little ceremony. Yes, I've said it a few times already. But back in mid-March, I had my third ever Dayton Zinni Music Madness Tournament. I had 36 artists in the field this year. And one band came out victorious. They beat out. And well, it was a 12-band final. Third place was Isaac Williams. Second place was Kaylee Downs. And in first place, and the champions of the Dayton, Ohio music scene, the typical Johnsons. Of course, they're here with me tonight. Yes, and round of applause once again. It was a great tournament. Jeremy and Lynn are here tonight. And of course, Jeffrey and AJ, they couldn't be here. They're listening. But so congratulations on you guys. And because you won, you get perks. You get some prizes. So let's get started with the prizes. I want to thank Rapid Fire Pizza. Of course, Hutted Burrito is the owners. I had some friends. They hooked me up with this when I told them about the tournament. This right here, you turn this in, you get a free pizza of any size or a salad of any size.
Right on.
You got to buy a 21-ounce drink, normally like $1.50. That's the best they could do. Once you buy the drink,
that's pretty good, though.
The pizza's right good. So there's that from Rapid Fire Pizza. Thank you again, guys, my friends that work there. And of course, You guys, like most people, you look up your entertainment on the internet. Hopefully you guys like Google Play, because I got you guys a $10 gift card for Google Play.
Oh, man, thank you.
It's apps, games, music, movies, books, $10. So here's that. You guys, as a band, can decide what you want to spend it on.
Thank you.
And last.
We'll give it to Jeff.
All right. Yes, well, tell them to spend it wisely. And last but not least, I'm going to stand up for this. Every winner gets this. Of course, the first ever winner was Melvin Robertson, a.k.a. Faith Baby. And then the second winners was Elementary Liberty Project. They get some, even perks go away, but they get something that lasts forever. And that is a physical trophy or a plaque. And I got you guys a golden plaque. It says Dayton's Indie Music Madness 2018 champion presented to the Typical Johnsons for their track Sleepwalker. It was awarded officially on April 25th, 2018. You guys are getting this tonight here in mid-November. So congratulations. Here is your reward.
Thank
you. And of course, Jeremy's filming it.
Yeah,
so yeah, once again, you guys are champions.
Thank you, man.
All right, you guys made history. So thank you for being my tournament, because a lot of bands do it, some don't. So you guys had your fans really turn out and vote for you guys. I was impressed.
Well, yeah, that's part of being, I think we just have a lot of friends.
Well, you do. Well, that's how you do it sometimes. All right. We've got a lot of comments here. We'll start with Titus. So, Titus, I know you said you didn't have any questions, so we'll pretend you're a fan of these guys, and maybe you are. But
yes, just pretend.
So what question do you have for the Typical Johnsons?
No.
Ask them about their fashion.
Okay, your fashion. Do you guys?
Do we have a look?
Yeah. Do you have a look?
Yeah, we kind of trying it. Perform? We could try and, you know, at least present a cohesive look. You know,
you got to have some kind of aesthetic
something
up there, right? You don't want to look like just like somebody from the audience.
You don't
want
to look like
stage.
You just kind of rolled out of bed and was like, okay, well, oh, I forgot I had to play a show. So yeah, we try and, like, you know, at least look somewhat cool. You know, it doesn't always work that way. You know, and it evolves.
Should try,
it evolves, you know. We watched our bass player go from wearing a flannel to wearing a Misfits jacket. You know, I mean, these are bands that he's fans of, but I mean, it's like.
I thought you said he was going to do like the Michael Graves hair from.
You know, we've had to pull him back a couple times. He's ready to do that. That's not a joke. He's totally ready to do that.
You know, Jeremy, now that you're a champion, you should pull out the Michael Jackson Beat It jacket.
I could do that.
Yes, one glove and the orange coat, and just your next concert, that's what you're going to rock.
Especially
look like Eddie Murphy
absolutely.
From Raw.
I could do that.
Purple leather.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Eddie Murphy, Michael Jackson, that's your look moving forward.
For sure.
I can't wait to see that. Because
you're champions. That's how champions dress. All right. Now we got a question from DJ Beauty. She's a staff member here, and she has a question. Sure. Where did the name The Typical Johnsons come from?
Ah, this is a good one. We've been asked this before. The Typical Johnsons, the way the band started is, well, look, Lynn and I are a little bit older than probably most of the people who start down this path.
Yeah.
Like, I started playing guitar right about when I was 40.
Yeah.
I'm 45 now. So I've been playing for about 5 years. Lynn's been playing for a little less than that, about 4.5 years. And we kind of started this under the assumption that anybody can do this.
Yeah.
All you have to do is have the drive, know some chords, and, you know, the desire, really. And that we've operated under that way for 4 years, and now we're on our fourth album. We're touring, we're doing what we need to do. And the idea is that anybody can get up and do it. Regular people.
Yeah.
Typical people. The Typical Johnsons. The Johnsons part just basically came about as like a regular name. You know,
do you know any Johnsons at all personally?
Oh, yeah. I know a ton of them. Almost all of them dig the name. So it was all good. I was actually worried about that.
The Smiths might have already been taken.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Yeah. See, couldn't be the regular Smiths. Yeah. Although that would sound pretty cool, too.
It's befitting you talk about the Smiths, because we actually had another staff member had a question. He did say, you guys, listening to your track out there, you guys sound like American version of the Smiths.
What? Oh. That is seriously high praise. Really?
Yes, of course, the lead singer of that band is Morrissey. So he wants to know, how do you feel being compared to Morrissey? Do you feel like you sound like Morrissey? All right. Now, Morrissey, he's a great singer. He's, of course, he is a vegan. He's a serious vegan. So you guys are probably not vegans.
No.
So I just wanted to, you guys...
I don't think I have the discipline to be a vegan.
Oh, okay.
I think if I had the discipline...
It's a lot of not being able to eat that with veganism.
I think I could get behind the lifestyle. I just don't know if I have the discipline to do it.
Well, Morrissey would probably not like you to... Go ahead, Lynn.
I was going to say, I've done vegetarian, but I haven't gone vegan.
Is he, like, really aggro about it? Like,
yeah, very.
He's an animal rights activist.
Very, Yeah, one time he stopped a concert because he was at a festival. They were cooking hot dogs and hamburgers. It was really nearby where he was performing. He was like, who is burning?
Oh, no, really?
Yeah, he stopped.
Wouldn't like me. That's too bad.
Yeah, and he got them to stop, and he continued, but he stopped the concert and ranted for, like, 10 minutes. Wow. So, anyway, but he's a good singer, though, other than the animal.
Oh, yeah, man, that's seriously high praise. That's one of the better compliments I've ever received, I think.
Yeah, they're really good, and you guys are really good as well. So there's that. That was a good question from our staff member. We had several here, so let me try to get through these. His name is Jonathan. He asked that catfishing is a big deal on the internet. How do you guys know, if you listen to music, if a band is being a catfish or if a band is being real? Can you guys personally tell the difference?
I'm not sure.
Like fake bands, if you will.
Fake bands, as in like they don't play their own stuff?
Yeah, like Milli Vanilli, if you know that star from the 90s.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Man, I don't know how you would tell. Especially now with being able to record in your house and stuff. Yeah. Like, I mean, I don't know.
You can auto-tune anything to make
you
it sound
You can auto-tune
like,
anything.
You know?
You can. I mean, I don't know. You know, we've struggled really hard to try and capture like a live sound on, and it's hard. You know, I mean, we went from overproduced to underproduced to somewhere in the middle, and we still haven't hit the mark yet.
Yeah.
So I really don't know. I know. I guess the answer is no. I can't tell.
All right. All right. Thanks for that question, Jonathan.
Yeah, it's a good question.
All right. We got lots of comments here. A guy named Anthony, he's listening. He says, hell yeah, the typical Johnsons are awesome.
Ooh, yeah.
So he's a fan. He just wanted to get that out there. So
good question.
Thank you, Anthony.
Best question.
Yes. What else do we have? He goes by name Hip Hop Tino, but he's listening tonight. He thinks you guys are great. He gave a
thank
thumbs
you,
up
man.
To
thank you.
Typical Johnsons. Some other fan, he also gave a thumbs up saying the Typical Johnsons were awesome.
I'll take it.
Trying to think if I had any more questions. Ty's, did you think of another question?
I did not.
No, that's fine. All right. Well, I think I thought of two more myself before I kick you guys out for this evening. When will you, you guys made this album. How long does it guys take you to make an album? Like, what do you guys do to write songs and make a collection of them to make an album?
We are constantly writing. Like, right now, and yeah. I like to tell people this. You know, this is my own little ego stroke, I guess.
How do you guys, I guess another question. How do you guys come up with the name of an album?
Sometimes we look for something that's cool, and sometimes it just kind of happens, and always our bass player, Jeff, shoots everything down and tries to pick one himself, and so we compromise somewhere.
All right.
He actually came up with it.
He did. He comes up with a lot of stuff.
I've got one last.
He does come up with a lot of stuff.
That sounds excellent. I got one last question I could think of. I went to your website. You had a song on the album called Lo-Fi.
Yep.
You're printing 100 copies of this EP. It has this person. There are exactly 20 copies. You guys, I guess, did you guys make a music video to Lo-Fi?
Yeah, absolutely.
So who was behind making that?
Well, our manager, AJ, who you've referenced a couple times, he actually got with Jake Weiskup, and we've shot the video in Patrick Heim's studio, which is called Real Love Recording Company, and that's in Dayton, Ohio, and that's what was behind it. I mean, it's just basically a live video, but the lo-fi song was actually on our second album, and now it's on this one. The reason it's called, in other words, is because we were taking some of our older songs and redoing them one last time before we put them on the shelf and never go back to them. And that's what happened to Lo-Fi, which is the direction the band's going, which is a little bit more punk, a little less singer-songwritery.
Cool. That sounds awesome. I'll show you the video out later.
Please.
But with that, that's all the questions I have. Of course, thank you, fans, at home, and for the comments and questions. Once again, check out thetypicaljohnsons.bandcamp.com for all their music. Of course, facebook.com/typicaljohnsons. And good luck with all your concerts
coming up.
You guys will be performing throughout December in the Ohio area.
Oh, yeah.
Good luck to you guys. Thank you once again.
Take care, guys. Thank you.
All right.
I'm glad you're on board. So I was supposed to ask you, first of all, about your fashion choices.
Sure. Absolutely.
You're an eccentric dresser, I guess.
I am. I would call it a little bit of Freddie Mercury chic most of the time. I know I'm not dressed like that now, but you did see me come in with my fur. So
I did.
Yeah. It's faux fur. Absolutely faux fur. But.
So do you design your own fashion? Or
no, I'm a thrift store mega fan.
Okay, cool.
So I won't tell you where the honeypots are, but Dayton has some really sweet thrift stores.
Do you ever go to Discount Fashion Warehouse?
I love Discount Fashion Warehouse,
Or should
too.
I mention that on the radio?
You can mention that one. That's not a thrift store. You can mention that one. It's fantastic.
Though. Okay, cool. No, I really appreciate that because obviously we're on the radio, so they can't see us anyway. But I am a fan of flashy dress myself most of the time.
Absolutely.
So.
Anything I can cover in dog and cat hair, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like black wool is really good for that.
Yeah.
I've had to go many a dry cleaner in my day. So, fashion, you like to dress eccentrically. Any like statement pieces or anything like that, or just like for the sake of being David Bowie flamboyant?
You know, I really think that I was supposed to be a male 80s rock star.
Me too. Okay.
So, you know, I have like a pretty large collection of Michael Jackson jackets and lots of, you know, like everything. I can't really say one statement piece. I have a lot of statement pieces that often all get worn together. So
cool. Eclectic.
Yeah.
I think they call that,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. And so then you also tell us about your work a little. You work with animals in Dayton.
Sure. So I used to work with animals as a career, but unfortunately it doesn't pay as much as I would like it to. So now I just work with animals in any way that I can. So companion animals mostly.
Okay.
Working mostly with dogs and also with doing trap, neuter, return with cats as well. So a little bit of everything. And then I also foster dogs through Adopt a Pet Rescue as well.
Okay, cool. Yeah, because your Instagram is Dayton Dog Petter.
Yes.
You have a lot of really cool pictures.
Yeah. So I like to approach dogs before I ever approach their owners, which is something I'm working on. But if you tell them that you have an Instagram page and it has this many followers and you can show it to them, a lot of times they will let you pet their dog a little more leniently. So then you get more doggy kisses, and
that's really
pretty
cool.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that's I've never heard of that as a concept for an Instagram page.
You know,
but
I was doing it anyways. So yeah.
I had to do my research, so I found that out. So like we were talking, you have your own dog, of course, as well.
Absolutely. Gomez.
Gomez. Mm-hmm. And he's a Chihuahua mix.
He is. He's a trash dog for sure. That's his breed. He's Chihuahua and 10 other things. So
those are the best kinds of dogs. Really.
Absolutely. He's the best thing that's ever happened to me. And I'm pretty sure the best thing that has ever happened to anyone that ever meets him.
Did you adopt him?
Yes. He's adopted. Yeah.
Cool.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So do you, like you work, like have you ever done anything with like Sixa or anything like
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. So my first, my second job out of college was at Sixa.
Okay.
So I was their development coordinator there. So I planned all of their events that raised the most money for the animals there. And then I worked with sponsorships and donors and those kinds of things. So I helped make a lot of the money there to save a lot of the animals.
Nice.
We do have a fan question. They want to ask you, Sabrina, do you think animals or perhaps some pet owners should have special insurance geared towards the health of the animal?
I think it definitely helps. So recently my dog had to have about 8 teeth kind of looked at and possibly removed, and it was extremely expensive.
Yeah.
And having that insurance would have brought that down a lot. And I think, you know,
that's
vets,
pretty common with Chihuahuas, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah. And vet care is so important and so expensive, so getting insurance I think definitely helps.
All right, that was Tim from Fairborn. Thank you for the question.
So are you do you anything as far as like, are you vegetarian or vegan?
Yeah,
then?
I'm a vegetarian. Absolutely.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
And I would be vegan. I completely support veganism. I just sometimes think that veganism is a little bit harder because everything that you do is impacting something.
Yeah.
So I try really hard to cut any kind of animal
and cruelty
things out of my life. I don't use any products that test on animals, those kinds of things. And I do my very, very best. But I think veganism is a very hard term.
Well, we were just talking about Morrissey a little earlier.
Yeah. Oh, Morrissey at Riot Fest, when he cut all of the, none of the food trucks could sell meat, and I thought people were going to start flipping buildings over. Of course, I didn't care at all, but there were people very angry about it.
Well, that's, yeah.
Story either, but that's typical Morrissey there.
Oh, absolutely. He also took like 2 extra hours to come on stage, but we won't talk about that.
Yeah.
So, so you've done obviously a lot of fundraising, like for CICSA and other things.
Yeah.
Tell me about Nick and Jamie Testa.
Absolutely. So I don't know if you know Nick and Jamie, but they...
Well, see, that's why I said I feel like I should know you. Yeah. I actually have already donated, and I did so. I know Jamie as... Or not, sorry, Nick. I mean, he works at Hole in the Wall.
Yes.
One of my favorite bars in Dayton.
Yeah. So I met Nick at Hole in the Wall about 3 years ago. It's also where I met my boyfriend Robbie, was at Hole in the Wall. So
cool.
It's a very special place to me.
Me too.
I also bartended there for a little while too.
Oh, sweet. We just had Haley Madison.
Yeah. So I started bartending with Haley. I only did it temporarily, but I was there. Yeah.
Awesome.
I love Haley.
Cool. And so so you met Nick and I guess obviously Jamie through Hole in the Wall.
Yeah, and Nick is the lead singer of Night Beast.
Yeah, I was going to ask. Yeah, he doesn't also...
So my boyfriend Robbie, we've been together for a few years now. He is in Night Beast, and he and Nick are best friends.
Okay.
Through that, I've gotten to be very close to Nick and to Jamie.
Cool. Yeah, no, they seem like pretty cool cats. And you're doing a fundraiser coming up this Saturday.
Yeah, this Saturday.
Blind Bob's.
At Blind Bob's beginning about 9 o'clock. So Nick and Jamie are really staples of the downtown community, especially in the Oregon District.
I've been to some of their concerts. Yeah, they definitely are.
They are so much fun. So really, when this happened, I would have thrown a fundraiser for them no matter what, because I love them and I want to make sure that they're taken care of. But it was so easy to throw this one because everyone wanted to pitch in.
And just because I don't think we actually did actually cover what exactly the fundraiser is for.
Yeah, so it's called A Night of the Beast. It's more of a Night Beast tribute show because we wanted it to be fun and lighthearted, but we also wanted to raise money for them.
Okay.
So for this set, we are going to remove Nick from the stage. And for all of the Night Beast songs, we have a guest singer. So some of the singers are past members of the band, singers from other bands from Dayton. Steve from Punchline, which is a pretty famous pop punk band, he's going to be one of the singers. I don't know if you know that about Nick, that he was a touring guitarist. He was one of the original members of Hawthorne Heights.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then he was a guitar tech with Bayside and Silverstein and lots of other
bands.
Okay,
so really into the Dayton scene
from
back in the day.
Yeah,
no,
absolutely.
I didn't know that either. So, yeah, and I'm looking at the Facebook right now for the event. Like you said, Jordan Scott Elam, Paige Beller, Alicia Grodecki, Christian Rohrig. These are some of the guest appearances.
Yeah, so some like heavy hitters in the local scene will be filling in for Nick. And, of course, we'll let him sing the very last song, but that's all he gets.
Yeah. How long has Jamie had leukemia? Because that's what she's battling. How long she's been battling
it? So Jamie has been fighting for, I think, about a year now. But really, you know, they're so private as people.
Yeah.
So it could have been longer than that.
Could be.
If you met Jamie, you would never know that she was sick because she is just the strongest woman I've ever met in my entire life. I mean, she really is. And she won't let anyone know. And she has continued to work through all of this. And she's just like a shining example of what, a strong woman should be.
Yeah.
She's stronger than I am. I wouldn't be able to work if I had leukemia. That's amazing.
No, absolutely. Yeah.
Now, how much money have you guys raised today? Because I know you guys have like a fun raiser on the Facebook page.
I would have to look again, but I've had to raise the amount so many times. Originally, we weren't going to do a fundraiser online, but people couldn't come to the event and wanted to throw a couple bucks. So I was like, we'll do something small. I'll say $500. We'll try to, whatever people want to raise.
Yeah.
We ended up raising it to $10,000.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure that it has all but hit that amount, which is really fantastic. And unfortunately, in the grand scheme of things, that doesn't do much but a dent in their medical bills,
right?
But
yeah,
it's still a dent.
Hey, yeah, no, it's still $10,000. It looks like the Facebook says you guys have raised $8,260 so far.
Yeah.
If anybody wants to go to Facebook, it's For the Medical Expenses of Jamie Testa is the Facebook fundraiser. And then obviously this Saturday at Blind Bob's,
$7 at the door, but you can donate more money than that. And this show, what you're getting for $7 is incredible. You're getting Steve from Punchline. You're getting Paul from Two Birds, which are big touring bands. And then you're getting this Night Beast set, and you will never see anything like this again, ever.
Man. All right.
Yeah. So is there anything we covered where you go to donate, your Instagram? Is there anything you'd like to add that I am maybe missing?
Well, if you aren't able to come to the show and maybe you don't have the money to throw out to donate because it's Christmas time, we absolutely get that. Stop in Hole in the Wall, give Nick $5 to play your favorite song, and that helps as well.
Okay, cool.
Awesome. Yeah. All right. Well, great interview.
Thank you so much, guys, for having me on.
Absolutely.
Yes, thank you, Sabrina Cox. All right, now it's now time for this episode's final message. Of course, once again, I'm here with Titus Wayne.
Hey, guys.
Titus, you've been a great co-host so far.
Thank you.
You've shown a lot of raw talent in the brief about 6 episodes you've been here. I want to ask you, what do you think you've learned since you've been on my show?
Well, I've learned a lot, really. I mean, just as far as like broadcasting procedures on radio and getting questions and music ready for you know, it takes a lot of preparation to do something every week, you know?
Yes.
People probably don't feel, probably aren't aware that it goes into, you know? And
yeah.
I mean, so I've just learned a lot as far as that. And also, I mean, just like, It's been fun to come up with something interesting for all of you listeners out there every week. So
yes, radio is a hidden art. People, for those of you that those at home that are naysayers, will be like, oh, it's radio, it's stupid. But yeah, there's a lot of work. I think people realize that once they've actually done it. And did it scare you off? Like, you haven't done live radio. Are you now scared of it? Or are you more?
No. I mean, like, I had done live radio before with, you know, the life and everything.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, it's fun. I enjoy it a lot. And I'm probably going to be starting my own podcast. So it definitely didn't scare me away.
Yeah, you've been telling me about that a few times. So tell us your plans for your new podcast in the near future.
Well, I don't really have like any solid details or anything yet. But it's been something that I've been toying around with, you know, pretty much ever since I started doing stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
And, you know, with this experience under my belt now, I feel like it's probably the right time, you know, coming, you know, probably as soon as the beginning of next year. But I'd like to, you know, kind of like in the vein of like you or like Joe Rogan, I would like to have a show where I would just have interesting people on to come and talk about what they know, really, you know?
Yes. Well, that sounds very promising. Now, and of course you had, the two interviews we had Haley J. Madison on a few weeks ago. And then tonight we had Sabrina Cox. How'd you feel when you was, I was just curious, like when you're asking these questions, how do you feel? Do you feel comfortable or upset?
It's so much fun, really. Like, interviews are the best, especially like the two guests that I've had. Thank you, Haley and Sabrina, for being awesome and not a bit like, when you can talk to somebody who can actually answer a question, that really helps. So
absolutely.
So definitely thank you guys. And
it is, because it is a partnership. Like when you talk to someone, it helps that they are in a good mood. I'll say, as long as I've done this, I would say 99% of the time, the interviewee, they were in pleasant moods and they wanted to talk to me. I'm trying to think. There was a few times I've had some unruly guests. They never walked out, so I am happy to say no one's ever like ran out on me. But well, you can tell some people have egos.
Oh, yeah.
And
they'll call in and yell.
Oh, yeah.
Mean things.
Yeah, that was the first time that's happened. I've had some people dial drunk me and it's fine. It's not the first time that's happened. It won't be the last, probably. But the thing is, if you do your own podcast, expect the unexpected.
Oh yeah,
because if you think you figured it out, you haven't. Because I haven't figured this out in like the 8 years I've done this. There's always a surprise every episode.
Well,
so
it's a lot like comedy in that respect. Then
yes, it's its own form. Yes, absolutely. It's
a continuing puzzle.
Yes, absolutely. But with that, as you've noticed, I'd like to do the final message. Most every episode, I share my thoughts or some type of story. So, Titus, since you're this is your last time co-hosting, do you have a final message for the audience at home that some people should know about you? There's something you want to get off your chest? This is your free mic time to do that.
Not really get off my chest. I do want to thank anybody that's listened and has gotten any kind of, because I mean, I don't do comedy or music or get on the radio for any other reason other than to entertain people. So I hope that you guys listening have gotten some kind of entertainment out of me. And as far as like a final message, the only thing that I can say, believe in yourself and create your own destiny. Don't fear failure. That's a line from an old cartoon show that I used to watch. So
excellent words. And Titus, I got a surprise for you.
Okay.
I also got you a gift.
Oh.
Because you've been great this last six or 7 weeks. I got you a $10 Google Play card.
Oh, so man.
There you go.
Well, thank you very much.
From me to you, Merry Christmas.
Thank you for having me for this past month and a half.
Yes, Titus, you've been a pleasure. And but good luck to everything that you do. When you do just start your podcast, good luck. I'll definitely look you up and take a listen. And because you're a comedy, you're a man of many talents. You play video games. You work at the Fairview Cafe and do stuff. You dance. And come 2019, you're gonna add podcasting to your repertoire. And of course, you're a stand-up comedian.
Yep.
So you're a man on the rise. And it was a pleasure having you. Hopefully, life brings you great success.
Well, thank you, Daniel.
Well, thank you as well. Well, thank you, Titus. So that was the one and only Titus Wayne co-hosting for last time. Chris, yes, maybe years down the road, maybe I'll have you on. Once you're a big Hollywood superstar, I'll have you on again. Absolutely. Absolutely, sir. Well, with that, I'm going to end tonight's show. This individual I'm going to play in tonight's show, he will also be at the Night Beast Tribute Concert this Saturday. It is, and he's also a friend of mine. I've seen several of his concerts now. I had him on years ago. It's Hip Hop Tino. And let me describe this guy. He's an Ohio MC. Tino drops knowledge while rocking crowds with brilliant rhymes, schemes, and unique flows. This Cleveland-born, Dane-adopted son is making noise around the state and beyond. And of course, back in October 13th, he released a brand new album, From Ohio With Love. So that kind of fits the Ohio theme perfectly, because I'm Ohio's on fire, and of course, Ohio is also for lovers, as Hawthorne Hearts would used to say. And now Tino is telling us From Ohio With Love. I'm going to play two tracks from that latest album release, and he's excited because I talked about it on Facebook. I'm going to play Power Pellet, and I'm going to play The Ohioan. Those are his two tracks from his 10-track new release. Once again, it's called From Ohio With Love. So I'm going to tonight's show on that. So until next Monday night, when I do some monster jamming and I have some Blue Leaf music on the air, Titus Wayne, the Typical Johnsons, Sabrina Cox, and the whole world, that's the way it is.
Yeah, hey, you know, it's Tino. Yeah, look. If every rapper in my city got together, played a show, I'd go to the exits and watch it burn slow. Get it? Kinda. Now watch it actually happen. Sorta doing them a favor. Name a hotter time rapping any of them ever had. Though some of them wasn't bad, but that ain't the same as good. Like good ain't the same as great. Like great ain't the same as me. I'm chasing legendary stakes. Both in and out of state. Let the jakes run the place. They couldn't be any cleaner. There's only in the demeanor. But both by these bottom feeders who act like they don't need us. Riding the coattails of the culture. Never been self-reliant. So of course they feel some shade. In the shadow of a giant big man on the block, posted up like Shaq. Watch me handle the rock like in a Titan on tack. I'm kind of cutting them off, I'm never cutting them slack. Freeze frame on these lames, time out like.
Yeah, yeah. Check, check. Yeah, I'm from that C-L-E-V-E-L-A-N-D. Transparent to the D-Y-T, but no matter where I be or go, they know it's O-H-I-O. Until my eyes close and I wake up and heaven's doors, I'm from the C-L-E-V-E-L-A-N-D. Transparent to the D-Y-T, but no matter where I be or go, they know it's O-H-I-O. Until my eyes close and I wake up and heaven's doors, the state sign says, welcome to Ohio. Been a lot of places, this is the best state that I know. Right in my sun and snow, but bless you for life's highs and lows. And keeps you on your toes, so you ready no matter what it throws at you. I'm proud of my state, so I rep it like a statue. And if I wasn't so dark, I'd probably get a tattoo.